Torpedo! Astern and closing!
Rhee's mind went blank. Then he heard the impossible word again.
Torpedo!
Hard to put full!
It was a blind order. It might save the ship, it might not. His was a commercial vessel. It had no experience in wartime. Rhee didn't even know that there was a war on. The great ship lurched in response to the wheel. It heeled left, sliding into the beginning of a long turn it never completed. The Ingo Pungo lurched ahead, shuddered deep within, and so rapidly that it was like an ugly miracle, it began to list to the stern. The ruptured stern was drinking bitter ocean, engulfed by a thirst that filled the rear hold with heavy, draggy brine. Terrified seamen started pouring up from below. Rhee met them at the top of a companionway.
How bad?
We are sinking.
We cannot sink.
We are sinking. We have no stern.
On the verge of nervously pushing past the uprushing seamen, Rhee knew he had only time to accept the word of his crew if he was to save their lives. He turned and cupped both hands around his mouth to give his orders volume.
Abandon ship! Abandon ship!
Rhee ranged the deck stern to stern. He wouldn't lose a single seaman, no matter how lazy and unworthy of life. Leaning over the side, he called to the large boats below.
Row away! Row as fast as you can! Lest the sinking ship suck you all down to your doom!
His men fell to rowing. There was time yet, he hoped. Satisfied that he had done all he could, Captain Rhee helped his remaining crewmen swing the last lifeboat out onto its davits. When it was poised over the heaving ocean, they gestured for him to climb aboard. He saw the second torpedo charge toward the starboard. The wake was like a furious, foaming arrow. It ran between two lifeboats, nearly upsetting them. Men clung to the gunwales in fear. With a sudden drawing of his mouth, Captain Rhee saw that the torpedo was going to strike the Ingo Pungo amidships, strike at the waterline directly beneath the spot where he intended to deposit the last lifeboat. And he knew all was lost for himself and his remaining crewmen. The ship shuddered alarmingly upon impact. Cold salt brine was thrown up. It streamed down Rhee's open-mouthed face, freezing instantly, stilling his tongue, and sealing one eye shut to the elements. Rhee grabbed for the rail, but it slipped from his grasp. The deck was already pitching. It pitched its brave captain overboard, which was a kind of mercy. The Ingo Pungo slipped beneath the waves as it dragged to its doom by something inimical. From the moment the first torpedo demolished the stern, 10 minutes had transpired. But only two more after the starboard hull had been breached. The sucking of water drew three of the lifeboats down into a brutally cold vortex, carrying its crew to a violent death. But not as violent as those in the surviving lifeboats. They were bobbing in the water in sheer disbelief of the calamity that had overtaken them, when the heaving sea around them flattened strangely, belled, then heaved up again as if from some subsea earthquake. In their midst, a black steel snout surfaced, hung poised for a heart-stopping moment, then came crashing down to dash every last lifeboat into kindling. A hatch popped up in the top of the gleaming conning tower. A man, whose face was as white as the flag on the sail, stepped out and looked around. His face mirrored the blue heraldic design in the flag. The man with the blue device marking his death white face lifted a short-barreled machine gun and chopped a survivor into fresh chum. Then the searchlight began picking out other bobbing heads, and the machine gunner began picking them off with methodical precision. A few ducked when the hot light swept toward them. They never resurfaced. The black submarine slipped beneath the waves soon after that. Other than scattered slicks of blood in the water, no trace of the Ingo Pungo remained.